Ever since I started teaching piano full-time just over 10 years ago, group classes have always been part of my studio offerings in one way or another. My students and I have experienced and played around with about every structure imaginable. When talking about group classes, there are really two different categories: group classes that are your full-time weekly lesson format, or group classes that are included as more of an enrichment activity in addition to students' private lessons. To narrow down our discussion today, I'll be talking to the second style, where students are getting classes on top of their individual lessons. In this episode, I'll walk through the variety of formats I've experimented with, and will share my experiences with each. I'll also briefly touch on how fees play into this, as well as the weeks of the year that seem to be the sweet spot for holding group classes. For the cherry on top, stay tuned to hear about the big group class revelation that took me 10 years to figure out. Welcome to the Piano Pantry Podcast, where together we live life as independent music teachers. I'm your host, Amy Chaplin. In this space, we're going to talk about all things teacher life related, from organizing our studios to getting dinner on the table and all that comes between. You'll get loads of easily actionable tips on organizing and managing your studio while balancing life and home. Let's do it. Before we dive into discussing all of these group class formats, there's one important detail I feel like I should mention. My tuition structure has always been based on an annual, that is, school year fee. It's a flat, all-inclusive fee, with the exception of materials, which I charge a separate $90 flat annual registration and materials fee for in May. This means I don't charge fees for recitals or different rates for lessons versus group class weeks and such. Families either pay one annual payment, two semester payments, or nine monthly payments, and then summer is separate. My policies have a general statement that lesson structures and offerings may slightly vary from year to year. Okay, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on fees, but I've had people recently ask about it, so I wanted to make sure that was clear up front. My first go of group class formats was to run them every Monday night. Each week of the month was a different group with four in total. So every Monday night following my private lessons, I had a different 60-minute group class. One thing I liked about this was that it was very consistent, and students continued to get a private lesson while getting a bonus group class each month. The main reason I ultimately moved away from this format was because I felt like I was constantly planning these classes. Plus, it was a spot in my week that I couldn't fill with another paying student. Next, I moved to a format where students still had a private lesson every single week, but rather than doing group classes every Monday, all group classes were scheduled the first week of the month. Thus, students still had 1 week a month they came twice in the week. The nice thing about this is I was able to focus my planning into 1 week and have all of my group materials out, and then put it away for the rest of the month. When it came down to it, though, I still had the issue of running the group classes after also teaching a full teaching schedule, which 1 week a month ultimately turned into exhaustion. Enter the dynamic Charlene Shelsey from TCW Resources. After attending a workshop hosted by my local music store featuring Charlene, she inspired me to evolve even further. Charlene espoused holding group classes in lieu of private lessons 1 week of the month. The brilliant thing about this is it allowed me to focus the entire week on group class activity planning, plus, due to the way they were structured, cut my active teaching time down a bit. Those weeks were completely life-giving, as they gave me a little breathing room to simply catch up. Not only that, but I had previously only been doing 60-minute group classes since they were scheduled at the end of the day, like 6:30 to 7:30 or 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And 60 minutes just never felt like enough time to do all I wanted to do in a well-rounded manner. Dedicating an entire week to group classes allowed me to expand them to 75 minutes. Sometimes I even think 90 minutes would be great depending on how many students you have and the level. My range is 3 to 6 students, with the sweet spot being 3 to 4. To give you a brief peek into my general group class lesson plan structure, I like to include 4 activities: performances, audiation, ensemble work, and music theory games. If you'd like to learn a little more details on these, check out the blog post on pianopantry.com called Group Lesson Planning Made Easy, and I'll link to that in the show notes. While this format of holding group classes the first week of the month in lieu of their private lesson was a huge improvement, the one downside I noticed was that my students tended to not practice as much one of those weeks, and thus it felt like their progress slowed a little bit due to not having a lesson every 4 weeks. Enter the next group class evolution. We moved from once a month to every 6 to 8 weeks, still in lieu of the private lesson. Ding, 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 we have a winner. This format has stayed with me now for several years, and I have minimal, if really, no arguments against it. All right, guys, let's now talk about the times of year when holding these classes seems to be of the most benefit for all. My sweet spot includes 6 times during the school year. The first is during the first week, or maybe even the first 2 weeks of the fall semester. Now, I can't take credit for this one, as the idea came from my good friend Christina Whitlock of the Beyond Measure podcast. You can listen to her talk about it in episode 38, which I'll link to in the show notes. The way I see it, having a lighter week the first week back to lessons is a nice way to ease into the schedule. Plus, it gives families an extra week to nail down those schedule requests. Christina has lots more convincing reasons, though, and I'll let her share those with you when you listen to her podcast. All right, the second week that I like to hold group classes is in the fall. Generally, it's a week that I either have a speaking engagement scheduled out of town at the end of the week, or it's a week where I have a conference going on that weekend. The week of Halloween can also be fun if you like themed group class weeks. As far as reasons go, besides the convenience of the scheduling, there's not much to say except for the fact that, you know, students have had a good month of lessons at least, and they'll be prepared to perform perhaps something new. Plus, it's just a nice midway point between the start of the semester and the holidays. The third week of the year I like to do a group class is the last week of lessons before Christmas break. Let's face it, the closer we get to Christmas, who really wants to practice much? My students' Christmas performance is the second Saturday of December, so doing a lesson that week after just has always felt a little futile. Plus, I schedule all the group classes on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, giving me a couple of extra days as a nice start to the holiday break. All right, the fourth week that I like to do group classes during the year, and you guys, here we are. This is the big revelation. It's the first week back to lessons in January. Never have I ever done this until this year. 10 years, people. Okay, 10 years it took me to realize that this is a brilliant time to do a group class. I'm sorry, but no matter how many practice activities or challenges I've tried to do over the years, my students never practice that much over the holidays, and honestly, I don't blame them. Oftentimes, they're getting new materials anyway that first week. So in this instance, I did a little different format for the January class, and it went splendidly. Students were asked to come prepared to perform one piece they had learned in the previous year. Most of them, of course, just pulled out a Christmas song, but a few pulled out older ones. Because I'm lucky to have 4 keyboards in my studio with headphones, each student was given their new repertoire and they started working on it at their keyboard. I rotated between them every 5 minutes to help them out and get them started on each assignment. The last 15 minutes of class, we played a game and called it a day. It was fantastic. Similar to the week prior to Christmas, having that 3-day group class week made it a nice way to ease back into the full-time lesson schedule after the holidays. The fifth week of the year that I like to hold group classes is in middle to late February. Valentine's week can always be good, kind of similar to Halloween if you enjoy themed week classes. Again, similar to the mid-fall class, this one is just a good point in time. Students have had 5 to 7 weeks of lessons and will have something fresh they can perform. Plus, it gives us a little change of pace as spring break nears. Lastly is the week prior to spring recital. This gives students an extra chance to practice performing their pieces, and we talk about recital etiquette and such. Lastly, let's talk about the logistics of scheduling a little, as we all know scheduling multiple families can be quite the feat. I've done this 3 different ways over the years. Up until last year, families would fill out a Google form at the beginning of the year, and I would go through and find combinations of students that fit best with their schedule. Their scheduled group class lesson time would always be the same people, and at the same time every week we had group classes throughout the year. For some reason, this year just started to feel different, and I honestly can't pinpoint why. I decided to change my scheduling format. I think I'm finding communicating with families via text and more in time to be more useful than trying to book an entire year of group classes. I've tried out two different scheduling routines this year, and actually both have worked nicely. The first is that the week prior to the class, at the beginning of the week, I send everyone a Google form with time options for the upcoming class week. Then I schedule them while having everyone's availability in front of me. The nice thing about waiting until the week prior is that schedules can change, and it's nice for families to just have their most recent availability. The other way I tried this year is to simply decide what 3 to 4 students I wanted in a class together. Then I would just group text those 2 to 3 families and give them maybe 2 to 4 time options and ask them what times they could make work next week. The best way I found to execute this format is to text one group at a time and don't text the next group until you definitely nail down the common time for the first. It seems a little bit tedious, but I haven't had a lot of trouble with it, and I just do it one by one throughout the week. Now, I know all of you are probably shaking your head right now thinking I'm crazy for doing it these new ways at the last minute, but you know, you don't always know what works until you try something different. Of course, you know, you could always use like a studio management app for things like this, but I have always found families do better when they have less apps to add to their mix. And again, granted, this has to do also with how large your studio is. I have about 25 students. So, you know, if you're dealing with a larger studio, then of course, something a little bit more robust might be necessary rather than just simply texting them. But I just find most of my studio families want to communicate with me directly. And since I have a nice, I don't know, average size studio, I would say it's definitely manageable. All right, guys, that's a wrap for episode 3. I hope you were able to glean some ideas from my experiences with group classes and are able to find a way of incorporating them into your own studio in a way that's useful, sustainable, and life-giving for both you and your students. If you have any follow-up questions about this episode, you can send me a voicemail through the link at the bottom of the show notes. I can't make any promises, but if I start getting enough questions, it might be nice to do like a question and answers type of episode sometime, so don't be afraid to message me. Speaking of the show notes, you can find links to resources mentioned in today's episode, including a blog post on group class lesson planning made easy, more talk from Christina Whitlock on the benefits of holding group classes in August to kick off the year, and more. If you're online, you can find me at pianopantry.com/podcast, on Facebook at Piano Pantry, or on Instagram, my favorite place to be, at Amy Chaplin Piano. If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure and hit the subscribe button so new episodes will download automatically. If you have a moment, consider jumping over to Apple Podcasts to share a review. It's true. It's those 5-star reviews which help Apple know that you like it, and they will thus make it more visible to others. Merci beaucoup. That's French for thank you very much. My little word of thanks leads me into this episode's fun fact. In the first episode, I shared a demonstration that I can say the alphabet backwards in less than 5 seconds. Now don't forget, if you share that same amazing skill, demonstrate your abilities by sending me a voicemail through the link at the bottom of the show notes. I would love to feature others so I don't feel like I'm all alone in that skill. In episode 2, I shared that my favorite thing to bake is cookies and gave links in the show notes to 5 of my absolute favorites, so check those out. Today, I wanted to let you know that after 20 years, I'm trying to bring back my 4 years of high school French. Yes, I just dated myself. My husband and I are actually planning a trip to Europe this summer to celebrate our 20th anniversary, and I've been diligently practicing at least 15 minutes a day since May. I've tried 3 of the most prominent language learning apps, Duolingo, Rosetta Stone, and Babbel, and have to say hands down that Babbel has actually become my favorite. It feels gamified enough to me, which is why many tout Duolingo, but Babbel really spends time teaching you the rules as you go. So, au revoir, mes amis professeurs de musique. Merci d'être là et je vous parlerai bientôt. Bye, my music teacher friends. Thanks for being here, and I'll talk to you soon.